Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 9th on the West Coast, now September the 10th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and as soon as we get in touch with tonight's guest, we'll be bringing him on. Can't seem to arouse him or make the connection. They were having thunderstorms earlier today in his neck of the woods and may have had some power knocked out. So we'll trust that we can reach him. If we can't, I've got plenty of interesting things to talk about tonight. Well, that said, there's quite a bit of news that's being suppressed. That's for certain. Some of the mainstream television news networks, the around-the-clock networks, are not talking about what's really going on around the world. They're not telling us what's going on in this country either. The fear-mongering, the propaganda, the twisting of words. And I thought I would go back and bring forth some audio from an event that occurred back in actually 2003, I believe it was. Or no, this is the more recent one. I have to say this is a more recent one. I'm speaking about the Conspiracy Con, and one of the during the question and answer period, one of the attendees there asked the panel a question, and it pertains to some things that we've been talking about. I'm going to be digging deeper into the rabbit hole to bring some of these truths to you, and so first I want to play a portion of a clip here. From the 2010 Conspiracy Con, which is a conference, by the way, for those of you who are studying conspiracy. And it's very interesting where this conversation goes. The panel was able to answer some questions when they felt that it was most appropriate for them to do so, and in some occasions people were addressed by name. In this particular incident, you'll hear Mr. Michael Sarian actually respond to the attendee's question.
As far as the knighting goes, if that would really, you know, rescind your citizenship, I don't see what the problem with that is. Why would you want to be a citizen of the corporation of the United States to begin with? Which I think he's trying to say, which kind of leads into my other point. I've been studying this for about 10 years now, all the various conspiracies, you name it. And I've heard people talk about trying to reform the system, trying to infiltrate it. From my point of view, it's unreformable. It's too corrupt. It's corrupt from the very core, from the very organization, which is hierarchical, as is a corporation, as is the government, as is the media, as is all of it. Why would you think that you can reform something like that? Why not opt out? If we weren't so alienated and atomized and so busy with our own little problems.
I was talking
problems,
like, I said, why hold on to it?
Why hold on to it? Why not just let it go?
But people can't do that. Were you at my talk?
I was.
Right. The whole point is we cling like monkeys to the rotten sweets when the gooey good stuff is, you know, being offered to us. And this pathological identification with their thinking. It's happened subconsciously. It's happened through identification and many elaborate psychological processes. You see, all this stuff in the worldly domain, right, is just the out-picturing. It's the outward external form of something that's happening psychically, that's happening spiritually. We have spiritually identified with psychopaths, and we don't know what psychopathy is. We are identifying with the insane because we've forgotten what sanity is. We've lost the still point. We're not grounded. We're not rooted. We don't give a monkey's ass about our grandparents and the traditions of the past. You know, and then we wonder why we're feeling rootless. The pestilence has been going on from royal dynasties, you know, for centuries, which is why we have bugbears, you know, about Dr. Howard's. And again, my point was that, you know, we must draw the line where we violate a person's sovereign right to do whatever he wants to do, swing from the chandelier, run around in the streets naked, you know, be knighted, whatever. We have our concerns. I'm sure you understand that. You're a very advanced being, and you know that. But we also must not violate the sovereign, you know, rights of another person, because then we become like them. So what I'm saying is that that is an example of what I'm talking about. We have identified with their pathology. I believe you were trying to say the same thing anyway. And we have to watch that in ourselves, because why fight the tyrants up there when we're doing it in our homes? Have you observed how people treat their animals? Have you observed how mothers treat their children? Or, yes, right. So have I. And so there's lots of different complexions to tyranny. Right? It's not just up there in the corridors of power. It's here. It's right here. And much of it is even psychic. Much of it is understated. And I personally believe that's one of the worst kinds. So the identification with that pathology needs to be addressed and looked at. And you're right. Why try to prop up, sustain, reinvigorate the rotten carcass, this filthy, degenerate, perverted system that was built out of the most poisonous creatures that have ever been unfortunate enough to live on this planet? Buckminster Fuller said, if you don't like the system, wait till it crumbles and then invent a new system to replace the one that you don't like. That takes work. But we don't want to do that, which is why we rely on Big Brother to come in and help. And then he'll just have a 2.0, tyranny 2.0. We've been doing that. And how many times have they rolled it up and folded it up and then comes another one, which includes all of these various other divisions and all of these different schisms? You see, they breed this dichotomy. Because once you've accepted one form of dualism, that just immediately becomes a virus. There's dualisms just pour out once you've accepted one. This is the whole satanic principle. Once you can be deluded about one thing, then it's nonstop. The fabric becomes unraveled. And that's what's happened. And we're down to trying to put the pieces back together again, you know. But you see, we have to watch our need to rely on the other to do that. It's instantly a statement of your disempowerment. You have to observe and become unbelievably aware of how you disempower yourself on a daily basis, both politically and in every other way. You have to really microanalyze that. Like I said, like the Bruce Lee concept, become still. I didn't mean inactive and zombie-like. I meant still, so that you can observe carefully what you're doing to yourself and to other people. And when we even conceive of a sort of a political paradigm of this is going to make change and that's going to do this and this person's going to do this for me, you know, we're already subconsciously disempowering ourselves and moving out of center. And that's when Big Brother's eyes open. That's when the vulture is interested. You see, because they know that. They have a whole leviathan to get you out of that center. So, but then again, here's the thing. There's no, I can't, and then people will go, all right, Michael, tell us how to do it. Or Pope Ratzinger, tell us how to do it. There is no A to Z. This is the whole essence of selfhood. Only you can walk your path for you. Only message we can give you is do it fearlessly. Open your heart, do it fearlessly. Don't buy into their bullshit because they can't move. They're static. I mean, these people are morbid and static, and that's a whole other subject. But the thing is, there's no A to Z. There's no map. And even if there is a map, somebody can show you the map, they can't walk the topography for you. The doctor does not get into the bed with a patient who's sick. He can only suggest what you should do for yourself, both medically and also, I say the same thing, psychologically. So there's no A to Z manual. Each individual must find their bliss, their dharma, and work with that. And then that inspires the rest. That has a chain effect. You know, people think, oh, we're so big head honchos up here. We've done nothing but what I'm just telling you we've done. There's no difference except that maybe, you know, some of us have tapped into that in our own ways. That's the only thing that makes us unique at all. But the thing is that that's within us all, and we must find that. And then again, make sure that you've realized, this is my last point, beware, be vigilant of all the forces that stop you doing that. Because it's a twofold thing. You have the desire to go forward, but there's also impediments in your way. It's catabolic and anabolic. It's Shiva and it is Shakti. It is Nagual and it is Tonal. It is Yin and it is Yang. It is masculine and feminine and so on. You have to know what you want and your goal and your and how to get it, but you must become absolutely, fundamentally, and incredibly scientifically aware of all the obstacles that stand in the way of you and your selfhood. That's what we're here for on this planet. That's the education. The rest will be taken care of by that higher force. You're not going to be able to do it. Ultimately, we may not even get out of the web with our own egoistic desires. But the homework that you can do is click into your Dharma, have total belief in yourself, and observe all the forces that stand between you. Become intimately aware of those, and that's then how you then go out and help the rest of mankind to do likewise.
Now, again, that was at the end there, Michael Tsarian giving his viewpoint, and that falls right in line with the basic theme of this show, certainly since this past January 1st. And for those listening in on an archive, this is 2010. So we've been, for the past 8 months, nonstop talking about consciousness, talking about responsibility, certainly talking about sovereignty and the power of the self. And there you could hear Michael Tsarian basically in a couple of minutes describe the process of liberating yourself from illusion. I'm going to be doing a show coming up. I'd like to get him on the show, actually. I've read his work and been listening to him on various talk shows around the world over the years. And he's very awake and sees what's going on, and he's solution-oriented. It's a perfect match for this show. He's on Coast to Coast with George Norrie quite a bit, and he's been on many other well-known radio shows. He's a great researcher. He's an author, a journalist. He's a lecturer. He's not afraid to go out into public and share this information with people. It's the same theme. Interesting, some of the other guests, and we may from time to time talk about some of the things that they said. That, as an introduction, we were able to make contact with tonight's guest, and so I'm happy to bring him on at this point. He got to hear part of what Michael Tsarian said, and he is, in his own right, a talk show host. He hosts a show which is the number one show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. A Marine's Disquisition. His website is amd.elequity.com. And he's our regular Thursday night guest on Evident Footprints. Former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. Drew Malone Reigns the Third. Drew,
and,
welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Welcome around the world. This is Drew Malone Reigns the Third, and there's nothing wrong with me. I'm 100%. You know how life goes. It's just one of those things, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for being late, and I don't mind telling you and share what the problem was. I have been putting in 20 hours a day for the last 2 weeks and have not had any sleep. I did my 2-hour show this afternoon with Bob Chapman and Colorado Al. I turned around, had a 1-hour reprieve, and did another 2-hour show with Matthew. Larissa in Sochi, Russia, and Matthew. And I, when that show was over with, Matthew and I talked on the phone. That's my former Marine buddy who's married to Melissa, to Larissa. And we talked for about 45 minutes about things. And I went in and was taking a power nap. And I have an alarm system that's supposed to say, "Hey, Drew, it's time for the Don Nikoloff show." And it did not go off. And why didn't it go off? Well, the power on that side of the building is gone. And I'm on emergency power back here for 2 hours, which is a little setup that I just finished building this last week. And this is the first time that I've had an opportunity to test it. So, Don, you're getting me live, and we're running a test on six wheelchair batteries that normally retails for $200, $225 a piece. And we've got three of them on one computer, three of them on the other computer with inverters, and they're designed to run a wheelchair for 6 hours, and they'll run computers for three. So we're gonna do a show on battery backup.
I have to say, we probably set a record in the Guinness Book of World Records here. We're probably the only talk show to have the guests power two computers with a total of six wheelchair batteries.
Now, they're supposedly better than golf cars.
Well, that's good. That's great. Then we should make it through the show just fine.
I got a pop up from a Marine. Says, where did you find those batteries? I've been looking for them around the place. Well, when I believe it or not, I got in touch with a wheelchair refabrication company. That's a repair company here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I went out and picked them up for $40 a piece. Drained the fluids out of them and rebuilt the fluids.
Well,
the fluids were pretty hefty.
Now, how, if you were into fundraising, let's say for a new studio, how much would a wheelchair battery that belonged to Drew Malone Rains the Third run on eBay, let's say?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't gone to eBay and looked. I looked a long time ago, but I couldn't find them. These batteries retail brand new for $225 a pop.
Yeah.
If I were to buy these at retail price, I would have paid somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1,350.
Now, what if one of those batteries had belonged to, let's say, like Elvis Presley, for example? What would that?
That'd be nice. He would have given me his autograph.
You know, I'm just saying.
From the grave, man, that'd be a hefty deal.
You had a customer out there, is what I'm saying. So make sure you stay in touch.
I'm gonna have to get back with him. He happens to be a Marine buddy of mine that I did not fill him in with this. We haven't talked in a while.
Well, you got to hear the majority of that clip, I think.
No, I didn't. I was here plugging in my studio to Matthew over in overseas, and to Bobby in Southeast Asia. She's pulling an extra 4 hours of duty today or tonight. Those of you in New Zealand. Because her husband, a former United States Marine, is gone to Christ Church to volunteer over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would appreciate those listeners out there to pray for New Zealand, to our fellow neighbors, our fellow Englishmen. They're in that part of the world. They've been having enormous tremors. The largest was just this afternoon, their time, it was a 5.3 on a Richter scale. Well, that's just like a major earthquake here in the United States.
Yeah, well, they had a 7.4.
7.1 was the actual beginning of the earthquake the other day. They downsized it from 7.4.
They did. Okay. And I read reports that the ground had split as much as 11 inches wide in some places.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There was in Church Center. There is one of the oldest churches in New Zealand. There is a split in the ground that runs across the center of the town that at its widest point. It's 13.5 inches by 14 inches. and but the majority of it is as you go across for about a quarter of a mile, it is 11 and a half inches wide.
Now,
the ground is open, 11 and a quarter inches.
Yeah, I think it was, what, a week ago or maybe 10 days ago, I did a report on the 1080 there that's being sprayed on the people.
Yeah.
And then we have the series of earthquakes taking place.
Well, this is one of the things out of Highway 8 radio station, one of the flagship stations for news radio, alternative news radio for New Zealand, is the station is the news, and they've been talking about chemtrails. Heavy.
Hmm.
And it so happened that on their sixth day of special reporting on chemtrails over New Zealand, they do a two-hour show from BBS Radio. And it turns out to be you.
Hmm.
And your chemtrail show last week, and then you did another one the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely well taken. They enjoyed the heck out of it. Matter of fact, I gave you kudos for 2 days.
Well, I'm glad to hear there's listeners out there. Did they say, were they happy to hear that it was being exposed?
Well, they were happy to hear that the people in America aren't taking this so lightly as what is being reported in New Zealand, because it's all over New Zealand and Australia. The people in New Zealand and Australia do not believe. The chemtrails are from aircraft, as explained here in the United States, is contrails, because they don't have that much air traffic in the sky.
Yeah.
And when you walk out the door in Aberdeen or Brisbane or Dundee and Christchurch and Moola and look up, and it looks like somebody's playing checkerboard squares for hundreds of miles in the sky, you know it's not some aircraft there that's just wasting fuel.
Mm-hmm. Well, like here in the States, I'm sure in New Zealand, they get a watered-down version of what's going on in America through their mainstream media, if they get anything at all, and likewise here. We hear virtually nothing about other countries right now. We hear nothing about what's going on in this country. So, the average person is...
Even my girlfriend in the Ukraine, in the Crimea, has reported the chemtrails to me and taken her live cam and hooked it up to her computer, and showed me live shots, and it looks like Little Rock, Arkansas, as you look up over the airport with the chemtrails.
Mm-hmm. Well, the people there in Australia and New Zealand that are reporting this are probably encountering the same type of opposition that we do. And the media, this is for the people over there. The media
over there is reporting it. They're not as much as controlled over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking questions. And this is one of the reasons there's been a change in government in Australia. There is now a female prime minister in Australia. Most people in America don't even know that. They don't even, this amazes me. We've got all these major newspapers around the United States, but they're all controlled by about 8 men. And their editors, people say, well, the editors have full. No, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're an editor, these editors out here, they take orders. And they're told specifically what they cannot report and find a way, and they're told to find a way not to report it. And one of those things, find a way not to report it, is chemtrails.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to say is the people in New Zealand and Australia can rest assured that when we bring this issue up, they tell us that we're nutcases or we're hallucinating, or they use this explanation that in 97 degree weather, in a very humid part of the country, in daylight, and virtually no wind at 10,000 feet, those are contrails, that the air is freezing at 10,000 feet. It's ridiculous what they say. You only have to look at the scientific reality of what we're saying, and it totally debunks their propaganda. So this is why we talk about this on this show and things like that, because most people are going to buy what the mainstream media is saying unless they're listening to shows like this, shows like yours, where you talk about these things day in and day out, 6 days a week, actually. So,
And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to talk about it. I have people that ask me, are they going to take you out? And guys, they have had as many as 6 government vans parked out in front of my little rinky-dink little $30,000 house. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I live in a $30,000 house. I'm proud of it. I own it. I don't have the only problem I have is I have to pay taxes to live on it. And I got my little half acre of land here with gardens on both sides and a garden in behind it. My biggest problem is being able to store all the food that I grow. But I've got about 2 years worth of food stored up, and every time somebody sees me get in my roaster and drive off, they wonder, what is he going to bring back now? And I'm always coming in my little Austin Healey with a 350 Chevy engine in it, and I got that sucker loaded down like I was living in the South America. And if you've ever seen people in South America that have a pickup truck, it looks like it's an 18-wheeler running down the highway until they take all the stuff out of it.
And you got yours loaded with wheelchair batteries, right?
I actually did. I put them up. I've got a little place. I had the trunk up. I actually, at one point, thought about taking the trunk lid off so I could stack them all up, but I ended up getting some twine and tying the trunk lid rested up against the batteries as they stacked up in the back in the trunk. And then there's a place behind the two seats where I had two batteries stacked up there, and I had them all tied up, believe it or not, with twine. I'm talking about twine that's not as thick as your finger. Your little finger, just half a stick, I would say a quarter of a stick. And I had about 20 wraps around those batteries and about 30 holding it onto the car. And I drove the mile and a half from the location that had these batteries and brought them back over. And believe it or not, Don, 8 years ago, they used to be on the other side of the half acre of that sits between me and a building, a commercial building. Yeah, that's how close they were. But they packed up and moved a mile and a half down the road to a bigger and more modern facility.
Well, there's an example of being prepared and being able to operate off the grid too.
Well, I'm working on a generator. As a matter of fact, I'm working on 3 of them, but I'm working on one that runs off of steam that will run 2 turbines and a generator. And the turbines will create all the power. As a matter of fact, it'll create once I put these set up in series or parallel. In series and parallel, I will have the capability of 220 on this house running from a steam engine. It's really not a steam engine. It's a steam turbine. We're not talking about electrical turbine. We're talking about a turbine of steam where there's an outer cylinder and then there's an inner cylinder with a lot of holes in it, in that cylinder, and then it comes out and runs off of a small battery. I mean, it is a small battery. It's a small car battery. And then that car battery itself is charged by a 1960 generator that went on an old pickup truck back in 1960. And that generator charges that little car battery, the 6-volt car battery. And then the steam that comes out goes over and runs two electrical turbines that create 14.7 kilowatts each. And then as the steam dissipates through the turbines and comes out about 3 feet further on down the road, it starts condensation into water. And right at the present time, I've got it looped around to go into a reservoir. And I'm about to figure out, I've already got it figured out. I've just got to get some more parts to where that water is then recycled. And then I've got to put a one-way valve to where the water will reach into a reservoir over the primary reservoir that feeds the little steam engine. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to have a little contraption here that looks like something out of Jules Verne.
It sounds like it.
And again, this is just the invention stage. I feel that it can probably, once I've got it working in something, because I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2". I weigh 78 pounds. And I fluctuate from that 278 to 284, back down to 275. I can't work in close quarters, like a little bitty space. But I hope to be able to build this and then shrink it down into something that is in a box. It's approximately somewhere in the neighborhood of about 4 feet tall. 2 feet wide, 2.5 feet wide, but it's 2.5 feet, that's 32 inches wide, and 6 feet long. And when this is, and all of that cube that I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the 12-foot cube will turn into a box that will just, boom, you can take it, pick it up, and put it on a house and take that house off the complete electric grid and create at least 27 kilowatts of power, dual phase. And that's enough to run your house, ladies and gentlemen, 24/7 with everything running and the temperature outside 110 degrees and your central heat and air conditioner pouring it on, or your window units and all your rooms pouring it on, and the front door and the back door and all the windows up. One of the nicest things about being an electrical engineer, ladies and gentlemen, your mind doesn't stop. And one of the things that I personally have learned in the last 3 years after I disconnected my central heat and air conditioning, I found out it's more economical to put room heaters in every room of your house and turn those heaters on only when you need heat in those rooms, and you know you're going to need heat in those rooms for a longer period of time, or the temperature outside is going to be sub-freezing, and you need to keep your entire house a little warmer. And in the wintertime, unless the temperature reaches 115 degrees, I don't have any other air conditioners in this house but one window unit in this studio, and that is to run only in emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally feel, that the electrical grid in America, Canada, and Mexico is going to go down. I've felt this for years. I've felt that the world itself is going to go into a turmoil. And many people out there are trying to say that we're going to go back into the dark ages, and I don't believe that. I do believe there's going to be isolated communities out here, communities of less than 500 that will survive just like they did in the 1930s, helping each other out. And if you live in a big city, I got one thing for you. Read the Bible, because the Bible tells you to pack up and get the heck out of the big cities. Just like the guy that was talking at the beginning of the show, in an illusion. We're living in an illusion, Don.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been saying that, too, haven't I?
You've been saying it a long time.
Yeah.
Marianne Ponder said, you got to talk to this Don Nicolau, man. He may sound like he's crazy, but he's not one of the illusionists out there. That was her words.
Do I sound like I'm crazy?
No, she never said you were crazy. She said you're not one of the illusionists out there.
Oh, okay. Oh, because you said he may
sound like you're crazy. But you're not one of the illusionists out there, okay?
Yeah.
Now, when she says that somebody sounds like they're crazy, they're not crazy. That was just shit. There goes my semi-automatic fire that's getting closer to my house. We do have, ladies and gentlemen, I live on the border of the country here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I've got three or four drug gangs within a mile of me, or a mile and a half, and they have these shootouts about every other night where one takes something from another one, or they're out testing their fully automatic or semi-automatic weapons. So if you happen to hear a few bullets out there, as long as they're not hitting my house, we're okay.
No, I didn't hear anything. So.
Oh, that's good. It was like night and day over here.
Well, everybody say a prayer for Drew. And for the gang.
I got lead based paint all over my house. I got a little protection.
Yeah, and for the gangs too.
So. I got the lead based paint on there to keep the black booted thugs from driving up and down the street and looking in my house with their special cameras and their special lenses and their other BS.
Yeah.
And they can't, there's nothing they can do about it because there's no children in my house. And I don't have any, all of my friends that do have children, under the age of 18, they're not allowed to bring their kids here.
Hmm.
So the government doesn't have any, they can't come in and say, well, you've got children in your house. We have a right to tell you to paint your house because they might get poisoned.
Well.
And on another scale, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about illusionists. There was a movie put out in 2006 called The Illusionist. Good movie. You need to watch that one, Don. Nikola Tesla's in that.
Yeah, when do I have time?
Now, welcome to Drew's world. I got to go out tomorrow and buy a new alarm clock.
Yeah. Oh, did yours fry?
I don't know if it's fried because it's got a 9-volt battery for emergency backup on it, and the alarm didn't go off. That makes me madder than a hatter.
Well, next time hook it up to that wheelchair battery.
Well, that's what I should have done. Guarantee it. I may end up doing that.
we this past week, Drew. I don't know if you how much of the shows you got to catch, but we've been talking about. Who's pulling the strings? And this little clip that I played at the beginning of the show actually talks about the fact that the system is corrupt by design. Okay? It's intended to be corrupt. Now, that didn't mean that was the intention of our forefathers, this subversion.
Wait a minute. I think we've got the greatest document in the world. It's just that lawyers and Zionists have taken that document and whittled it apart and found a way to sabotage it. But they couldn't do it in the 18th century. They started whittling away. Andrew Jackson put a stop to it with the lawyers and the banksters in the 1830s. Andrew Johnson didn't put a stop to it, but he came within a hair's breadth, one vote of being found guilty of of an impeachable offense when he was impeached in 1866 because he implemented Abraham Lincoln's agenda, 50% of it, and the powers to be attempted to impeach him, and one lone senator said no. And that was how close Andrew Johnson became the first president to be impeached and found guilty in the United States Senate. The second president that was found guilty to go before the Senate was our illustrious leader from Arkansas, William Jefferson Clinton. So they've been whittling away. Lawyers have been whittling away at the Constitution for over 230 years, or to be quite honest, 221 years to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was asking me the other day about the right to travel, and I said the right to travel is in the Articles of Confederation. In the Articles of Confederation or inside the United States Code. You got to go in there and look for it yourself. I'm not going to tell you where it is. But it's there. I found it, word for word, all the way through. And when you start bringing up the definitions pursuant to Title 18, mm-hmm. The definition of vehicle and automobile, you find out real fast that a vehicle and an automobile has to be in commerce. And how do you get in commerce? You take a driver's license with your name in all capital letters. You register your automobile with the state, and it's in all capital letters. Therefore, you get insurance on it, and that puts you in commerce with an insurance company because most insurance companies are not within the state, and it's between you, the insurance, and the state. There's a long way to go, and there's ways to go about it. That is for another show some other time because, ladies and gentlemen, you literally can lose your car, go to jail. Most of you have got soaked into this feudal system, and it's who am I? I'm just one Marine that's not going to go quietly at night. I don't have a driver's license. I don't have registration. But there's a way to get around it, and that is difficult in and of itself to show you how to take a vehicle and build it yourself and then notify the Secretary of the State that you have built a wagon that does not require horses to move down the highway. I won't go into it any more than that because I could talk for 3 hours on how to build a wagon that goes down the highway without horses and how you literally have to put a document like that together and file it with the Secretary of State to get permission for you to move your wagon down the road.
Hmm.
Under the Constitution, free right to travel.
Now, are you allowed to tote wheelchair batteries in your wagon?
Well, I didn't tow them. I had them inside the wagon.
No, I said tote.
I can put anything in there that's my property. I have to prove it's mine.
Wow. Well,
I literally do. I've been pulled over 4 or 5 times. All I have to do is prove that it's my property and I paid for it.
Yeah. Now we were talking about illusion, and of course that's just one of many. What do you see, Drew? I've never really asked you this question. What do you think the number one illusion is that people are affected by right now? I'd say the first one that just really starts the ball rolling, if you want to use that term.
Excuse me.
I was. Did you have trouble hearing me there? Or?
Yeah, I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. I said, what do you see from all the things that you're watching going on right now? What do you see as the number one issue that people are concerned about? I may have phrased it slightly differently than I did the first time, but...
I'm gonna have to divide that up into four sectors because we've got, well, maybe not that many, but we'll start with the way the Marines and military, what is concerns them, retirees and those over 50, are over, I should say 60, are more concerned with.
Yeah, and I'm
and then there's a group of
Drew, hold on one second. I'm speaking. I just want to make this clarification for you. I'm speaking about the number one illusion that they've come to understand and awaken to. Okay.
Oh, the number one illusion that they have awakened to.
Yes.
That is the illusion of that we have a government elected by the people.
Okay. Fair. And there's probably more.
I mean, that, and to clarify that, and I just put it simple to you, but the majority of the people that I talk to are really aware that they have got to get out there this time around and stand as watchers at the election, stewards more or less, and be ballot watchers to make sure that the ballots are counted properly. There is in a number of precincts, there's actual people asking people to do a paper ballot when they vote so the paper ballots can be counted against the people that vote. There's other precincts where people are standing out outside and looking at, well, would you mind telling us who you voted for? So we can take a verbal count to compare with what the ballot station reports as voting for and voting against. This happened this last election for the presidency of the United States here in Arkansas, and the majority of the places that had poll watchers outside taking a count. In black communities, Obama lost the black vote in the state of Arkansas in over 100 voting stations in East Arkansas, which is made up of about 60% blacks, 40% whites. And these 100 individual voting booth areas that
or
these
precincts,
stations
yeah.
Where people went and voted were monitored by black activists that have formed independent militia units in eastern Arkansas to combat and report on and investigate the massive amount of fraud by the government against the black communities in eastern Arkansas. And many people thought that these black people that were out there were pro-Obama, and the majority of them were not. And what's really unique about this situation is, ladies and gentlemen, the black men and women, farmers, in eastern Arkansas would much rather have a white man investigate their farm rights than a black man. Because the black man that works for the government is notoriously worse in treating his in black people badly. And to make it really short, Don, Arkansas voted 67% for a Republican president. They voted for John McCain. Obama did not take 43% of the vote in the state. He took 33%. the remaining went to the other four parties that were on the ballot. Arkansas is one of the few states in the union that has it had this last election five presidential names in the presidential box. Anywhere else in the country, some places they only had the Republican and the Democrat. You go to Venezuela, Don, and they've got when they have an election for the president, like this the last election they did with Hugo Chavez, there were 36 independent parties up there.
Yeah, roughly.
There's some good parts there, and there's some bad parts.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the illusion of what the people are waking up to, that is the fact that people are turning around and understanding that there's no difference between the Republican and the Democrat parties. More and more people are standing up and realizing that if you've got a Republican office, you may have tails. You've got a Democrat in the office, you may have heads, but they're two sides of the exact same coin political agenda. And that's what I see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so you're hearing this, I mean, that's certainly your observation. You're hearing this from a lot of other people, though, right? That's their concern, in other words.
Sir? What did you say?
I said you're obviously able to deduce that yourself, but what I'm asking just one more time, this is the people that are saying this to you.
Yeah, this is not my this is information that I'm getting from several different politicos that I know. They feed me this.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you reminded me of several situations that were going on. A group had gone into, I forget the exact town it was in New Hampshire. You remember when the first primaries were coming around couple of years ago, and there were some complaints that the ballot boxes were being stored on the premises and the whole building was left unlocked, and there were people coming and going throughout the night, removing boxes from there. So there was a lot of shenanigans going on back then. And I had at one time a video posted on my website that showed a guy in Texas this is during the primaries. A guy goes to a polling place. And this is like set up outdoors on tables. They've got these ballot machines lined up, four or six of them per table. And a guy walks up to somebody who's handing out the ballots. And the guy was filmed for 20 minutes, basically submitting 84 ballots. This is all caught on film. Every once in a while, he's looking up at the camera. Camera stayed fixed on him. Counting the ballots, 84 times this guy voted. That's the type of corruption that there is.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. We got a judge up in the Northeast that says, well, the Latinos have a disparity, so they can vote six times. You missed that one?
No, you're reminding me. I've heard a lot of stuff like that, sure.
Oh, okay.
No.
I need to let people know that are out there, the truckers that are listening to your show, to let them know that to be careful going into Boulder, Colorado. If you're coming from the west, that Boulder, the winds have picked up, and Boulder, Colorado is now under attack by the wildfire that's 38 miles out and could possibly inundate Boulder, Colorado within the next 24 hours. So those of you that are traveling toward Boulder, Colorado, be careful.
Yes, certainly. Yesterday I'd heard that there was quite a bit of property damage. Something like 68 houses or buildings had been destroyed. And the fire, I hear, is about there were two and a half times the size of what it was. Does that sound about right to you?
Yep.
That's in one day. So, yeah, it's getting crazy.
Yep. And I want to, there's going to be a story hit the news tomorrow, Don, that I learned about this evening right after my show in a private chat from a major United States Marine Corps. He said, would you please try to get the word out for our wives in the United States that the 2nd Marine Brigade in Afghanistan is not involved with a major investigation of U.S. troops in Kandahar, because the Marines have been pulled from Kandahar province.
Yeah.
Kandahar province. And the Marines surrendered the Kandahar province about approximately a year ago. The United States Army 5th Stryker Brigade took it over, and 12 of the Stryker Brigade soldiers are being accused of murder of Afghanistan civilians, and one of those 12 is an officer in the United States Army from Washington State. All 12 are from Washington State. So we're announcing this on your show, Don, because I've got a lot of military people that listen to this show in the archive, because they're already starting to go out into the field.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're located are already in the field, and when they get back in about 10 hours, they'll sit down and they'll pull your show that's being recorded by two Wind Talkers that feed that show to Marines over in Afghanistan.
Okay, so that message hopefully is getting to the wives then, right?
Right.
Okay.
So they listen to your show live.
Oh, is that Betty's Brigade?
Sir?
Is that Betty's Brigade?
No. Betty's Brigade. They listen. A lot of them, they listen from their private homes. Her brigade goes home in the middle of the afternoon. But and those of you that don't know who Betty's Brigade is, Betty's Brigade is a group of military wives of enlisted and officers who meet together very casually at Betty's house, because two things. She's got a swimming pool in the backyard. She's got a jacuzzi. And she lives right off the main entrance, or not the main entrance, but off the back gate to Miramar Marine Corps Air Base in California. And these wives she's also centrally located to most of the wives and to the school where most of these military wives send their children to off to school, and they congregate there daily in the afternoon about an hour before school lets out, and they listen to my show. And she's had as many as 42 wives listening to my show and throwing questions, and their biggest problem is they get to listen to Bob Chapman's show, and their biggest problem is that when Bob Chapman goes off the air, they've got to start picking up their kids to take them home, because it's 3 o'clock mm-hmm. in California. And a couple of the wives have said, we've got to find a way to get the kids to stay in school another hour.
Well, they got to start dinner and all that stuff too.
Well, I don't know how they do that, guy, because most of the Marines don't even think about getting home till after 6. Third
well,
time.
Well, what's on everybody's mind now, aside from the fact that people are realizing that the elections have been rigged and interfered with at every stage in the attempt to intimidate voters or to discourage voters from even coming out? Well, what would you put next on the list?
Seeking truth, because more and more people are finding out that they're not being told and have not been told what's going on, and they're seeking alternative radio or alternative printed media or somebody out there to speak the truth.
Yeah.
Talk about what's going on that's really affecting their lives.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that for 2 hours on your show this past Monday.
We, you know, this is one of the things I try to tell people. Wind Talkers Radio Network is just one of the networks out there that's loosely, it is a loosely organized group of micro broadcasters and radio stations that reach all the way up to 30,000 watts around the world, and they grab talk shows from BBS Radio. That's this show right here, this network. BBS Radio has, they have four channels of fantastic information all day long. Whatever wets your whistle, come over and blow it. They pick up radio from the Micro Effect, GCN, Truth Radio, First Amendment Radio, The American Voice, RBN, Republic Broadcast Radio, Dixie Radio. They even grab stations from Public Radio Network and independent radio stations around the United States, places where Babe in the Bunker runs out of in San Francisco, or what's her name up in Seattle, Washington, Dr. Ruth. It's people, or they're you say the next thing in line? Truth. They're people are like they're standing at the water trough. There's a lot of water in the trough, but what's there, it's not nourishing their minds. It's not giving them the truth, and that's where why they come to BBS Radio and listen online to BBS Radio. They want to know about what's going on with black booted thugs out there using extreme force on inmates in jail, and then the inmates win a lawsuit for $405,000 against the L.A. County Sheriff. And why did it go down? Or what about the black lady in a wheelchair that was beat up? And tasered, and then she turns around and dies.
Yeah, we have.
Now there are 12 men and women that meet every week for Wind Talkers Radio Network, and we suggest the shows that people need to listen to, and we get feedback. Now, there's no mandated order that these shows, but these 12 individuals, men and women from around the world, picking up news feeds from their respective countries. It's not all in English, ladies and gentlemen. We get together and we let people know, hey, this is a great show if you've got a lot of French-speaking people in your area. Or this is a great show if you've got a lot of Spanish people in your area. Or how about English? Or if you're in Russia, or if you're in Cambodia, this is a great English show. This is a great French show. This is a great German show. I have one guy in Chicago and a girl up in Seattle, Washington, USA, and they play Russian talk radio and German talk radio because they have Russian and German communities left and right. I have a micro broadcaster that runs a 1,000-watt station in Los Angeles, personal friend of mine, Adrian Lopez. He was born and raised in Los Angeles. His mother and father were born and raised in Los Angeles. His grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather were all born in Los Angeles County. He just happens to have a Mexican name. He does. Adrian puts out a 1,000 watt station out there to feed Chinese because he lives right next door to Chinatown, and he runs 3 hours of talk radio from China in the Chinese dialect of Mandarin.
We can turn Evident Footprints into an international show right now if you want.
BBS Radio can turn BBS Radio into an international show with a blink of an eye.
Wir können nur Deutsch sprechen, wenn du willst.
Mm-hmm.
Ou on peut parler seulement le français. I could keep going, but I'll stop there.
you're a linguist. That's like that's as bad as Bob Chapman. He speaks 9 languages. And he's 75 years old.
I'm still working on Japtalian, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that'll be my 8th.
And then there's we have a Wind Talker station down in Arizona that does a show in Spanish, English, and the Navajo language.
Hmm.
They do Navajo language. News spots on all of their shows. And the sad part about that today was that I think when was it, 29th, whenever the 29th was, what was that, last week?
Well, that would have been in August, yeah.
A week ago yesterday, yeah, Alan Dale had died. And most, you know, people in New York and other Wind Talkers, a lot of Wind Talker stations out there wouldn't know who Alan Dale is. But if you're a Navajo Indian, you're a United States Marine, you know who Alan Dale is. He was one of the original Navajo code talkers who literally confounded the Japanese during World War II in transmitting messages in the native Navajo language. And he died last week in Prescott, Arizona. And his wife of 65 years, okay,
mm-hmm.
is his survivor. He also has a couple of children, and 4 children, and 14 grandchildren. But Alan Dale is one of the original founders of the 29 Navajo Code Talkers. We're losing our code talkers, ladies and gentlemen, and there's nobody out there talking to them personally to let you know that their American Indians stood up and fought for the United States of America in World War II, stood up and fought for America in Korea, stood up and fought for America in Vietnam. I personally had 2 Navajo men in my unit and would constantly hand them the mic and talk back and forth naturally. But we didn't have a special code talker network in Vietnam. We just happened to have 2 recon units, and these 2 guys happened to be friends from Arizona. One of them had been in the Corps for 2 years before his buddy joined the Corps, and they just happened to go to Vietnam together on their first tour. And I used them. I used them the way they should have been used. And the Marine Corps was all bent out of shape, the headquarters of the Marine Corps was all bent out of shape because they saw that because of the word was out after Korea about the Navajo code talkers, that everybody in the world would learn the language. I got news for you guys. The United States government can't even trace the Navajo code talkers. So you want to do a conversation on the telephone? Get you a Navajo next door to you, and then make sure whoever you're talking to is a Navajo living up next door to him, and you get them talking back and forth. You want to drive the CIA, the NSA, and everybody else in Washington and the black-booted thugs up the tree? Get you a Navajo friend.
Well, Drew, we've come to that point in the show where we have to say goodnight to our listeners.
I knew that there was a problem. Man, that's an hour and a half already?
Notice.
Not really, it's just an hour.
Notice I didn't say we're out of time.
I know. You just said you say goodnight to the listeners. Okay?
Give people.
Remember that song? Goodnight? Mm-hmm. Jeez, what is it? Good night's sleep, something?
Well, there was good night, I think. That's an old one.
What was that? What was the name of that song? Good night.
Irene,
yeah. Good night, Irene, yeah.
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to give out the information about your show and your newsletter. You got to do it fast. You got to do it in a minute, though. So,
the newsletter is posted daily every morning, ladies and gentlemen. The three W's, AMD.EchoLima, the word equity.com. The radio show is every afternoon, Sunday through Friday, from 1600 hours, that's p.m. for those of you in Chicago, to 6 p.m. in Chicago. Around the world, that's 2100 hours GMT. We do 2 hours daily and 3 hours on Sunday. And every once in a while, we'll do it. From now on, we're going to do emergency 3 hours, thanks to my friends in Chicago, in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Ricky and Lucy made a donation so I could expand my show to 3 hours when I needed to. And they promised me to do that on a tithing situation on a monthly basis, and we signed up for it. We normally don't have that kind of money come in, but I want to let you know that I really appreciate my friends out there that helped me. And I really want everybody to know that I pray daily, 3, 4, 5 times, and I remember those that brought me where I am today at the top of the list that united me and Don Nikoloff. And that lady was? Don?
Mary Ann Ponder, the
yes,
one
sir.
And only.
I can hear her with her baseball bat right now, pounding on the table. Way to go!
We weren't set up to take calls. Actually, we weren't even planning on taking any calls, but, Ricky and Lucy, wanted to call in. So I, want to let them know that, next time they do call in, we'll try to accommodate them. It's been real crazy, but we're making a lot of improvements at BBS Radio and, really, really some exciting things coming up. So,
all days of summer are here.
Yeah, we have to be patient while the guys are doing all the code and everything for that. So, Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show and look forward to being on your show as usual next
Monday.
Week. Yes, next week.
Ten seconds. I need 10 seconds. The pastor in Florida is not going to burn Korans on Friday. Remember we talked about that last week and it was something else behind the scenes on all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Is now put out the word that he's not going to burn the Koran, and it's going to be all over the news tomorrow. Anyway, I had to say it. You got it out there first.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Well, Drew, you be safe. Take care. Take care of those wheelchair batteries now.
I got news for you. They work like a champ.
All right.
Man.
Take care.
I want to tell you, these suckers work great. I'm
all
still
right.
Sitting here with 48% of power left.
And to your Marines, you say?
Semper Fi! Around the world, in every climate, in every place. My name is Drew Malone Reigns III. The radio show is A Marine's Disquisition, and we will not go quietly in the night. Semper Fi.
All right. Drew, wish you a good night, folks. That wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's guest, Drew Malone Reigns III. Special thanks to you folks out there with Wind Talkers Radio Network. Also, at BBS, I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience. Tune in tomorrow night. My regular Friday night guest, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray, will be with us again. Don't want to miss tomorrow's show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.